each of you this evening. Appreciate Brother Homer allowing me to come. Brother Carl said something just a minute ago about the folks that come and sing. So many most willing to do their part, and I can't sing, so I guess I'll have to stand here and talk to you for a half hour or so. I'm going to kind of jump around a little bit and looking at a word. Joyce made a testimony some while back, taken from Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. It's to train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Put me on the idea, do we fear, and what we're looking at is different passages, and not nearly all of them, but the fear of the Lord this evening, and teaching our children to fear the Lord. Going to borrow from Kurt's message Sunday night, Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13 there. The Lord told Moses, he said, stand still. Or excuse me, he says, fear not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Well, folks, I can't help it. And I know most of the rest of you can't either. We live in a fast-paced world today, and sometimes it's just difficult to find a place and a time to just stand still. And then another issue along that line this evening is that I'm trying hard to break myself of the habit of listening to the news media. I just want to turn them off. I don't want to hear what they got to say and so forth. And just be still and have the comfort of the Holy Spirit come and take over my life. Just let that be the issue this evening, if you will, the fear of the Lord. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. I apologize, but if you will bow with us in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as I come before you this evening, I ask that you'd hide me behind a cross, speak through the lips of clay. Lord, leading, guiding, directing, letting your Holy Spirit have control of the service this evening. Lord, let us stand aside, take our hands away from it, and let it be that which you would have it to be. Firm blessing we ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Borrowed from Kurt, and now I'm going to borrow from Brother Homer's message Sunday morning. You know, one of the things that really laid on my heart when God was calling me to preach, something that Brother Homer said Sunday morning, you know, whether y'all accept what I have to say tonight or not, I'm going to stand and give an account for one of these days. I'm responsible. And as we look at some of the things looking around the fear of the Lord, and like I said, I'm just going to touch on some of the things that popped into my head and so forth over the last couple of weeks, which reminds me, excuse me, if anybody has a testimony or anything, go ahead. This lesson has been kept on hold for 2 weeks already anyway, so it's not going to spoil. It's not going to go away. Matter of fact, it's gotten a little bigger over the last couple of weeks. But back to the message. No one else has anything to say. The fear of the Lord. I have a verse in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Most of you are probably familiar with it. I'd like to read it to you. And I'm going to read a lot of verses to you tonight. If y'all get bored with me reading, just I'll holler real loud when I'm done and we'll all wake up and go home. But it says, hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. Keep that in mind as I read the rest of this. I have nurtured and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Verse 3, the ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people do not consider. One of the reasons I don't want to listen to the news anymore. I slipped through there this afternoon and was listening to another denomination in another state, and this verse just kind of jumped off the page at me while I was sitting there. Even in church today, what we consider the organized Christian church today does not recognize. We have lost the fear of the Lord. We don't know who the boss is. We don't know who the creator is. Lynn and I was talking about this the other day. You take all and give it legitimate for just a moment of all the wise people in the world, all the wisdom and knowledge and so forth that man can muster up, and put it all together, and you could not have created the earth and the universe that we have. Man couldn't do it. It's beyond a man's ability to do, and yet we want to, you know, back in the Old Testament and so forth, they used to whittle out a piece of wood or chunk up a piece of stone or marble and bow down to it and so forth. And you say, well, preacher, we don't do that kind of thing today. Oh, yes, this world does. It has its idols. It has, and the thing is we have a lack of fear. And I'm going to say the fear of the Lord quite a bit tonight, so just ignore me or go with me one. But as we look at this, we have no fear. You go talk, those of you that have been out visiting the last 4 or 5 years, people just smile and talk to you and all about everything going on, and you try to bring in a little bit about the Lord, and they just keep talking and keep that. They don't even hear. They do not consider what the Lord is today. They just don't. They don't consider. Psalms chapter 19, verse 9. I'm not going to turn there, but you get into the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And if you run the references out of Scofield, it's a phrase of the Old Testament, piety, meaning reverence and trust with a hatred toward evil. Now, do we reverence the Lord today? Do we reverence God today? And do we really see evil? And do we really see sin for its sinfulness? For how great God detests, how God hates sin? Do we see those things tonight at all? Do we even consider them as we go through life tonight? Now, I told you, I'm going to just kind of take you around for some verses and so forth. We'll look at Psalms chapter 34 for just a few minutes. But Psalms 34, verses 8 and 9, I'm not going to read it all to you, but it says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's no want in them that fear Him." Now, almost every service that we have here, Elizabeth, somebody or who's ever leading the service says, "Do you have a testimony? Is there anybody here that can say a good word about the Lord? Has God answered your prayers? Has God been good to you this week?" And we don't say it too much anymore, Brother Homer, but preachers used to say this, especially in revivals. It says, "Come and give God a try. If you don't like Him, you can go on back the other way if you want to." And I ask you, have you ever tasted the Lord? Have you ever given thought to trying just to see? And don't get mad at me for using it quite that way, but here in the psalmist, he says, "Taste it," because folks, you'll not be found wanting. You know, me and Mark was having this conversation the other day. I don't know why we got off on the rich folks, but we did. And you know, what does the world have that we really need? Carl, you mentioned it in the devotion a while ago. We got a dry, warm place to sleep tonight. Obviously, I haven't missed any meals lately. What more? I mean, I got clothes on. What more can we want from the Lord? that He doesn't give us. And yet, we often find ourselves wanting. Still there in chapter 34, verse 11, it says, "Come ye children, hearken unto me." And here's the one place we get in trouble. It says, "And I will teach you to fear the Lord." Now, I'm one of those folks that didn't like school very well, didn't miss much of it, but I didn't like going to school, didn't like being in school. But folks, do you like to just sit down and read the Word of God? Do you ponder on it when you're doing the chores that you have to do during the day, driving up and down the road in your car? Do you ponder, do you allow the Lord to teach you to fear Him? And folks, I got to throw in one here that, and I'm looking over the congregation tonight and like, okay, but why am I going to say this? But I am. It's not that we're supposed to be afraid of God, but that we reverence Him. We give Him credit. We give Him the due respect that is due Him tonight. Fear the Lord, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 4, like I said, we're just going to walk through some things tonight, if you will. Moses in his closing days and so forth on in this earth, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10, the latter part of that verse, he says, "That they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children." This is another verse that kind of come from what Joyce was saying there some time ago about training up our children. Do we train our kids, or are we consciously teaching our children about God? Or are we letting somebody else do it? Or are we turning that over to somebody else? Been involved in church most of my life, and working with the youth program some many years ago, somebody got to, well, anyway, to make a long story short, we kind of counted it up. You know, if a child comes to Sunday school, comes to church on Sunday morning, comes to Wednesday night service, comes to a youth program somewhere during the week, and so forth, at best, the church has about 5 hours with that child a week. At best. And folks, as we think of it as parents, what are we doing? Oh, I should not say this, but I will anyway. We get all ramped up and ready to go when we start talking about, oh, the government took prayer out of schools. Well, folks, shame on us because we let prayer get out of the house. Bible study got out of the house. As parents, as grandparents, and somebody going to say, well, preacher, you don't have any kids. What do you? Well, I'm responsible to back you up. So, you know, what are we as a congregation of the Elizabeth Baptist Church, and don't get mad at me, I've said anyway, what are we doing to teach our children, our grandchildren, children up and down the road? Now, I don't know about you, but I can remember back to the 1960s. I'm one of the few people around here that still can remember the old church that used to sit here. And I can remember going up and down this road on my bicycle and so forth when I was a little fella. And, you know, even people that weren't in the church watched out after the kids up and down the road. And folks, are we doing that tonight? Didn't mean to say it, but here we go. Are we teaching our children about the Lord? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. It's been on fence posts and signposts around this community for many, many years. And most of you know what it is. It says, Joshua said, "Choose you who you will serve today. Make up your mind. You want to serve Baal or you want to serve God?" But he goes on to say, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What are we doing with what God has given us to do? Now, when you begin to reverence God, when you do what God wants you to do and be where God would have you to be, you come into Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 as Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. Folks, tonight, are we preparing the ark? Or are we giving them, as our youngsters and so forth, are we giving them that place? Are we looking... Oh, I know I'm going to say this too many times tonight, but don't want to upset anybody, but, you know, we have a lot of folks going, oh, the time's coming real close. I see it coming. And well, Scripture says, as you see the day approaching, that you get more excited about just putting out the Word of God. Are we doing that? Are we building the ark? We should be moved to the doing tonight. I'm going to interrupt right here for just a moment. I had come across a fellow many years ago, and he made this statement to me, and I just wanted to melt on the floor. You've been saved for years. He said, I'm in right here. I'm waiting on God to give me something to do. I'm waiting on God to tell me what kind of work He wants me to do. I'm like, say what? Are you for real? Now, I don't know about you, but they were seemingly, now looking back at them now, they were kind of insignificant. But, you know, I hadn't been saved very long at all. But God was saying, yeah, you need to go do this. You need to do that. I was taking a place in the church as a youngster. I'll say it. I don't know how, Homer, I don't believe you could have got more excited Sunday morning, and you definitely didn't get more excited than I did when all them youngsters come up here and sang Sunday morning. I hope I don't interrupt them, but every once in a while I just have to come up and sing along with them, and I can't sing at all. But love to say the words with them. Noah, being warned by faith, by fear and reverence to God, moved. Abraham, once again, Hebrews chapter 11, 8 and 9, or 8, 9 and 10 there. By faith, when he was called to go, went out. Sojourned, looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. Back when I graduated from high school, we had a commencement service on Sunday afternoon. Now, you could do that back then. And we sang a song. I don't know who holds, I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow, if I'm getting it right. We sang that so many times I could choke on it almost. But folks, tonight, are we fearing God in the realization that He does hold tomorrow? That's the reason I can turn, or hopefully break the habit and turn the news off. It really don't make any difference because God's in charge of tomorrow no matter what happens. If things didn't go the way you wanted it to go, forgive me, but God's the one that done it. Or at least He's in charge of it anyway. He's in charge of it. Now, I'm going to wander around here for just a little bit. And this one may not fit quite right in this spot, but I'm going to... Psalms chapter 122 and verse 1. King David, I was glad when they said it unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Does it bother you? Does it concern you that you miss church? Got to counting it up. When we lived at Griffithsville, we lived right next door to the church. We lived, Lynn and I lived up Sog. We lived in sight of the church. And you know where I live now. Most of my life, I've lived within sight of the church, and I see what's going on. I see who comes and goes and so on and so forth. And does it thrill us? Does it excite us? to wake up on Wednesday morning or Sunday morning and know that, hey, today's church day. Today's the time to go and fellowship and worship with the Lord. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 down through 11, and I'm not going to turn and read all that. I'll just tell the story. It's about Ananias and Sapphira. Everybody was bringing stuff to the apostle and laying it at their feet and apparently getting all kinds of praise and glory and so forth. And they sold a piece of property, decided that they was going to keep part of it back and brought part of it and give it to Peter. Peter, apparently being warned or influenced by the Holy Spirit, knew that they'd sold it for a different price. And folks, when you lose the fear of the Lord, Ananias and Sapphira died. They lied to the Holy Spirit and they died. It cost them their lives. Cost them their lives. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. I have to ask this evening. Do we understand? Do we accept? Do we recognize whatever word you might want to throw in there tonight? That God created all that there is here. Everything that is here. You and I are, of late, I'm going to say this, of late it has, several people have made it, and in their testimonies of the last few months, talking about how good God has been to them. And I got to looking back at my life, you know, God was so good to me when I was lost. A moment ago, I said, I can remember the old church. I can remember sitting. Boy, I thought I had got somewhere. I'd gotten to the back pew and away from Mother. And, boy, I thought that was something. But I can remember twisting on the back of them pews, too. I probably tore a couple of them up. And yet God kept dealing with me. And, folks, I don't find anywhere, Brother Homer, Kurt, correct me if you will, but I don't find anywhere that God ever said he was obligated to ask me the first time, much less 100 times.
Right. All grace and
mercy. Grace, mercy, his long suffering. Oh, my friend, tonight. I'm not going to turn to this one either, Exodus 20:20. Go back and look at it, but I'm going to just kind of hit the paraphrase of it. It says, but the fear of the Lord is that we would recognize sin for its sinfulness, and that it would keep us, the law would keep us from sinning against God. Proving of the people. His fear was before your face that you would sin not. Now I am going to ask Brother Homer and Kurt both to kind of jump in there if they feel led to tonight on this one. If Philippians chapter 2. Let me find my place here. Paul makes the comment here that work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, I've heard it said and so forth and that you'd think that God was just going to come down and strike us and torture us or something. But folks, as I said a while ago, I ran across a fellow one time. He said, I've been sitting here for 20 years, and that's an exaggeration, but he'd been there for a long time waiting on God to tell him to do something. Well, folks, if I understand this correctly, Paul is of knowing that he's not going to be able to come back to Philippi. He's in prison. He doesn't see the opportunity to go back to them again. And he says, with the understanding, as Brother Homer said in his message Sunday morning, you know, while I'm standing here tonight talking to you, there should be a certain amount of fear in my heart and my soul that I'm doing it correctly, or at least to the best of my ability, that I'm not going to, I'm like Brother Homer said there when he made that statement Sunday morning. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to put you off and tell you, I don't know, and we'll go look at it and find somebody that does know. And that's the reason I called on Brother Holman and Kurt, if they, or anyone else for that matter, tonight. But I think it is that reverence and the fear that you're to do what God has given you to do, and you're going to go look for that. You're going to seek God's face. You're going to seek out the Holy Spirit to give you what it is that you should be doing. That is why when Carl asked someone to come and sing just a little bit ago, they popped up and came up here and sang. Because they knew that that's what God has given them the voice to do. He's given them, you know, and folks, I'm going to go here. There are some of you who do so many things for the Elizabeth Baptist Church that have never been seen. Nobody, you see the result of it, but nobody sees you doing it. But you go right on doing it and keep on doing it. And then I think, if I'm right, Brother Holman, correct me, but I think that's what he's talking about, is that we find that place. That we find that, and I know I may be getting in trouble here by using the word calling, but that God has directed you to do. And I found out over the years of preaching, you know, we all preachers were called. Well, yes, we are. But I found out over the years that God's asking me to do a lot of other things other than just preach. And let us look in that manner tonight. Is to look to the Holy Spirit for guidance, for direction, day by day. As I said a moment ago, Paul was in one of the times that he was in prison. He didn't see a clear opportunity that he'd ever be back through by the people of Philippi to give them any more instruction. In James chapter 2, I'm not going to turn there, 17 and 18, James clearly says, I'll show you my faith by my works. And obviously, before anybody jumps there, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says we're saved by grace, not by works. It's a gift of God. But, and I know most of you folks here tonight, your parents, when you were growing up, expected you to do things around the house. They give you, as we used to call them, chores to do, and they expected them to get done. Well, I think God does the same thing. He gives us some chores to do. Why did he leave you here when you got saved if he wasn't going to ask you to do something? If we weren't going to do things... I made this statement a few times over the years. People say, well, why did this happen? Or why did that happen? We see tragedies and why did that happen? Well, this is just coming out of Richard. No Bible really to back it up. But how can I help you? How can I do something for you? How can I find opportunity to minister to you if everything's going perfect in your life? Sometimes things have to go wrong sometimes for us to have an opportunity to show that we're a child of God. It's just that simple, you know. And that's just me. Take that or leave it, however you want to go with that one, if you will. But in Romans chapter 3 and verse 18, Paul was getting down to the nitty-gritty. None of us, we were all born with an Adam nature, and I'm going to paraphrase, I ain't going to read all that to you. We all have come short of the glory of God. We're all sinners. As Paul gets down in verse 18 there, I believe it is, it says, we all are guilty before God, which brings us back to, folks, the premise, the idea that we have no fear of God. We have no fear of God. I ask you to just think a minute. Most of us have some idea by reading Scripture of what hell is going to be. What's going to be there? And I have come to this line of thinking over the years that a lot of the lost world has no idea what hell is going to be. And they have no idea of how long it's going to be. And I think the church, me and Mark discussed this many times over the years. More and more people are getting that. They don't believe there's a devil. And if there's not a devil, then we don't need to be saved because God, don't have to worry about God either. And folks, have we removed the fear of God from our eyesight? Have we put him away? Have we go back and read, especially starting about chapter 9 or so of the book of Acts, when you got time, and read through the remainder of the chapter and think about where we are in the world today. Paul went from town to town, and he did two things in most places that he went. On one side, he started a revival. And that revival usually turned into a riot. The point I'm trying to get to you is Paul was not ignored. The people didn't turn Paul off. They just didn't. And folks, I've been in homes over the last 10 years or so visiting with people, and I know I said it a while ago, but I'll say it again. I didn't make a difference. And yes, it bothers me that I'm making that statement. I shouldn't be able to say that, but, people have got to where church and God just doesn't matter. I can remember when I was a child living here in Garrett's Bend. Traffic, when we go out the door here to see, and there'll be cars just buzzing up and down the road. People knew what time church was, and they didn't drive by the building. Now, some of you folks can remember my dad, and he was lost when we lived here at Garrett's Bend. And on Sunday afternoon or something like that, he avoided driving by this building. Didn't want to disturb church. If it was time for folks to be in church, dad just go around the other way or wouldn't drive very quietly when he went by. Folks, people had that kind of attitude. But now today, don't get run over by a four-wheeler when you go out the door. They'll buzz right on by you. And don't be mad at me. Like I said when I started, I just want us to think of these things. And man in his natural sin. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 there. For the Lord comfort through the Holy Ghost. Paul was preaching and telling him as he was there. The church was multiplied because of the fear of the Lord. Acts 13:26. Paul was there in the synagogue at Antioch. Justified by faith, whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Now, I don't know about you, but God put something in me even as a child that said there was a God, there was a Jesus, and there was a Holy Spirit. And some years later, he maybe gave me enough to make me realize, wait a minute, I can do something about that. There is a hell, a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I'm going to shut up here in just a minute, if you will. But Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus teaching here, he says, and fear not them, hang on to this one, if you will. Matthew 10, 28. And fear not them that kill the body, that are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body. Folks, tonight, I'm going to quit there, but I'm going to say a few more things. You know, hell is real. Mine and your friends, loved ones, relation, whatever, if we don't win them to the Lord, they're going to spend eternity in that place. Rich man and Lazarus, one of my go-tos, I should say, lifted up his... Can you imagine a rich man begging? Just don't make sense, does it? But yet he begged Abraham to let Lazarus, knowing he's going to be there for eternity, just one drop of water against eternity. And then he begged him to send somebody back there and don't let my brothers come here. I'm going to shut up now. Brother Carl, if you would, come and whatever you need to do.